Friday, October 25th, 2013. I'm Alex Jones, and this is another original edition of InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, it has been estimated that the Department of Homeland Security has stockpiled at least 2 billion rounds of ammunition. And now the Department of Education begins to build up a massive firearms arsenal of their own. Then, healthcare.gov exposed as a clever ploy to sweep up all the private data of the sheeple and turn it over to the NSA. Plus, the U.S. Army suddenly halts their program that labeled Christians as radical extremists. That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, our top story tonight is a bullet that's been partially dodged by the embattled island nation of Japan, racked by the most deadly nuclear disaster in modern history, Fukushima 2 years ago. Earlier this week, more than 17 people died when a record typhoon slammed into the country. And then today, there was first a 7.6, downgraded to 7.1 earthquake that took place right off the coast of Fukushima, the state of Fukushima in Japan. But only about a foot surge came in, and there was not a serious tsunami. And so right now, things are stable at the reactor site. And by stable, I mean they're not any worse. They're very unstable, with 5 of the 6 reactors still damaged and leaking highly radioactive waste into the atmosphere and into the groundwater. But it could have been a lot worse, so certainly a lot of prayers got answered on that one. So that's our top news story tonight. Now, shifting gears to more good news. In the last few months, we've spent a lot of time talking about our Fort Hood sources confirming to us and getting us documents that FEMA is there at the base teaching them that the founding fathers are bad, that George Washington is bad. That's come out in the news, that Christianity is bad, that the Tea Party is illegal. And it came out via Fox News a few days ago that indeed the manuals we were sent are accurate. They're telling the soldiers, especially new recruits, that you will be arrested if you're an evangelical Christian, one of the largest Christian sects in this country, and you'll be arrested if you donate any money to those Christian groups or if you're part of the Tea Party. Unprecedented tyranny. After there was a backlash, the Secretary of the Army went public this morning with a press release saying that they were not supposed to be doing that and that this outside instruction material will no longer be used and is inconsistent with current Army policy. Now, that's the Army Secretary John McHugh. Ladies and gentlemen, we should have congressional investigations. People should get arrested over telling people you'll be arrested if you practice your Christian faith or give money to a mainline church or if you are part of the Tea Party, that are all legal groups. If they target minorities or even strange religious groups and persecute them, that's racketeering. That's why this is a serious criminal offense hiding in plain view. This is unprecedented. It's good news, though, that at least the Army, who's sanctioning this from the highest levels, got caught and is having to back off. In other news today, they're now removing the term under God from military documents. And the point is, this isn't part of not hurting the feelings of atheists. It's part of a program of persecuting the majority bedrock culture of this country, over 75% Christian. That's what this political correctness is about. In every socialist or communist society, this is the standard procedure because they're not anti-God. They want the state to be God. Continuing with the police state here, the Daily Caller has the exclusive. Feds confiscate investigative reporters' confidential files during raid, claimed it was a search warrant looking for illegal guns, but they took her filing cabinets and documents on her investigative reporting on government corruption for the Washington Times. There you go. Report on the NSA. Get the SWAT team raid. The reign of terror against the press just continues. Meanwhile, over 2.5 billion rounds of ammunition have been bought by different federal agencies, enough to fight a 30-plus year war in Iraq. And now we learn that the Department of Education every year is buying hundreds of handguns, rifles, and shotguns, now totaling in the thousands in the last decade. So they're for gun control, but only for us. And continuing, their mission to domesticate the population is going extremely well. We had 24 million people on food stamps 6 years ago. Now it's right at 50 million. And there are 108,592,000 people now on welfare. That outnumbers the entire working population of the country. And, of course, most of the working population is about to retire as baby boomers. So can you imagine what's about to happen? Yeah, martial law. And getting rid of your pension funds and then euthanizing you with the death panels. That's the official actuaries, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They're pushing the whole thing. Their idea is going to euthanize you, and the young yuppies are going to get behind euthanizing mom and dad to get their pension fund, to get a piece of it. And then, of course, the globals will double-cross them and increase their taxes as well. But, again, these trendies don't care. There's never been a government abuse or gang rape they didn't like because they're delusional. As long as they imagine that everything's okay, it's great. Now, by the way, we first broke this 3 weeks ago when healthcare.gov first launched with top computer programmers like Mike Adams of Natural News and others. It's now completely confirmed in CBS News, Associated Press, Consumer Reports, that healthcare.gov is exposed as a giant data-gathering honeypot. And the CIA actually bragged they set it up through a private front company in Qtel, and everything you do is put in a database so they can take your bank account, your tax return, refund check, and garnish your wages. They wanted everybody to come in and sign up who didn't have health care so they could track you. And that's why they're delaying the free health care, because that was never coming. They're just going to come take your paycheck. So that's the Affordable Care Act there for you. So hope everybody enjoys that. I know all the trendies will. Let's continue. NSA site is down due to alleged DDoS attack and denial of service attack. And meanwhile, Hayden, the former head of the NSA, was on a train bragging and yelling at the top of his lungs, basically, about, I have people secretly arrested. We run black sites. We torture people. The press better do what I say, as someone was sitting right beside him, texting out everything he said. And he hasn't denied it either. And by the way, that's how Hayden is. I've talked to a former NSA, high-level security specialist in the NSA, NSA security, Wayne Madsen. He's had Hayden walk up to him and scream at him at CIA events that Wayne Madsen was also attending. So he is just a little out-of-control thug. Well, there's been a lot of criticism over the name the Washington Redskins. I always thought it was like the Minnesota Vikings. It was a symbol of strength and honor and being brave. But the folks that want to control language and culture and create division have said that they're offended by it. And so now the owner's neighbor and confidant has moved to trademark the term Washington Bravehearts. It doesn't matter if the Native Americans called their warrior men brave. That's hateful as well. In fact, there's no name that you can come up with that's good. But the Washington Redskins, or I should say the former Washington Redskins, are now coming out with a new official name that may satisfy the American people. We're going to get to that in a moment. But I thought I would just mention Seattle has called for a ban on a potentially offensive language. The word brown bag, never associated with any type of racial issue. They're banning that. And the term citizen officially in the city government has been banned because being a citizen is offensive as well. Everything's being offensive, but being a jellyfish of government. And then, of course, the Boulder College asked students to avoid racist and stereotypical costumes and parties, saying don't be a cowboy. That's racist against cowboys. And don't be an Indian. Don't dress up as a geisha girl. I thought that was dressing up like a high-class Japanese woman. I thought women dressed up like that to have fun. But no, having any opinion is racist. You just do what the mainstream corporate state-run media has to say. And I actually agree with this totalitarianism that they have the Soviet Union now bringing here. I think it's good they're arresting kids that play with Nerf guns in their backyard. I think it's good that there's no more free speech in America. I think it's wonderful. And that's why we are now here to announce the new official name of the Washington Redskins. It is the drumroll, please. They've decided to do something that America accepts and is good. The Washington Tyrants will now be the official name. No, actually, they're going to hold a contest now with the American people to decide the change. It's official, though, that they're going to be changing the name from the Redskins to the Tyrants, the Pirates, the Bandits, the Bankrupt, or how about the Pedophiles or the Sanduskies? They could have Sandusky on the side of the helmet. How about the traitors? How about the criminals? How about the sellouts? How about the enemy? How about the occupied? How about the globalists run and captured? How about the Benedict Arnolds, the traitor against George Washington? How about the enemies of the Republic? How about the anti-Americans? How about the trendies? Because they dress up all this corruption and all this authoritarianism and all the secret arrest. That's a good name. How about the torturers? How about the kidnappers? How about the plague? I mean, there's so many names that you could come up with. But I got to say, the main core to everything we see go on with these tyrants throughout history is that they are perverts. And the state system says that our children are there. So I really do think that my vote for the new Redskins name, for the nation's team, the D.C. team, be the criminals, the District of Criminals. Or maybe it is the Sanduskies. In fact, that's it, folks. The official name, I think, no matter what they name it, the official name should be the Sanduskies, the Washington Sanduskies. We care about your children. Here's the bottom line to all of this political correctness that is really just authoritarianism. The power structure, the foreign banks that are looting this country and every other nation have the same playbook. They come in and use divide and conquer and get everybody obsessing over stuff that doesn't even exist or that is petty at best, so that we're all obsessing on fighting with each other via divide and conquer, balkanization, instead of coming together against the foreign banks that are looting us and against the federal government that are acting as mercenaries for this interest to prosecute a war against our very basic liberties. This system of political correctness is a frontal assault on free speech. The Pentagon is telling soldiers that if they're evangelical Christians, they will be arrested. This is beyond the Soviet Union. When are we going to realize the threat is the tyrants pushing political correctness? These people aren't well-meaning liberals. They are conscious authoritarians who know exactly what they're doing.
To build a better world
sometimes means tearing the old one down.
And that makes enemies.
The much-anticipated Captain America 2 Winter Soldier is coming out in April of next year. And I've got to admit, I'm a fan of Captain America and some of the ideas that are in the original comic. But more and more, it's been turned into a politically correct system to sell propaganda. And that may be why the franchise has been in deep trouble. That's admitted. But this new trailer is simply amazing. And before I went out and found the spoilers online that break down the plot, I knew instantly when I saw the first trailer that just came out what this is all about. And if you read the New York Daily News and others, they say they don't know what it means. It's confusing. There's nothing confusing about it. And before I even looked up the spoilers, so this is a spoiler alert, I knew exactly what was going on because it's so clear. Hollywood knows what we're hungry for. We know that corrupt elements have taken over the government. We're aware of this, and that's what the film is about. At first, Captain America says this is tyranny, this is corruption, and he's told by his boss and also Robert Redford, who's his government handler, that to build a better world, sometimes it means tearing the old one down, and that makes enemies. And he says, that doesn't sound like liberty. That sounds like fear and tyranny. And then his old boss begins to wake up, so he is wounded almost mortally. And Captain America begins to wake up, and he's on board the big SHIELD command ship and has to take out a whole group of traitors. When that happens, suddenly the bad guys that have been staging terror attacks come after Captain America. And he doesn't know where the assassin and others are coming from and who they work for. Of course, they really work for the director of SHIELD. SHIELD is the shadow government led by Robert Redford, who just so happens to be the villain.
We're going to neutralize a lot of threats before they even happen.
I thought the punishment usually came after the crime.
SHIELD takes the world as it is, not as we'd like it to be.
This isn't freedom. This is fear.
And they're staging these events to get the Western world to give up their liberties so that they can offer them security, a.k.a. our government running and creating and fostering and funding al-Qaeda and allowing them to attack us as a pretext to take over our lives and our world. And this is what Hollywood's doing more and more as their anti-liberty franchises fail. Now, when you watch mainline television shows, it's anti-liberty, anti-gun, anti-family, anti-militia. But more and more in big films like The Last Superman, they've got to give wholesome messages because they know that they've lost the body politic. The group collective and the people are waking up.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Well, you heard it here first. Captain America, Winter Soldier, is all about doing the right thing and being a patriot, even when it's unpopular, and risking your life to do it. This movie's fantasy, but right now, good men and women in our military are standing up to the public gun confiscation plans that are being promoted by Obama. Obama is preparing our military for a civil war with the American people. It's important we openly discuss this so they're unable to launch this conflagration. Americans need to come together around the Bill of Rights and Constitution, not give the offshore tyrants a civil war as a political distraction. Why is nascent iodine so important?
Nascent iodine is so important because it goes directly to the thyroid. It's not bonded to a salt, which means it doesn't have to be broken down, and it's the most usable form. It's what the body uses. It's what the body is designed to use. If you have low energy levels, if you have pains, if you have thyroid problems, if you don't feel up to par, well, they've proven now that the fluoride and a lack of iodine causes a decreased IQ because you have all this stuff that builds up inside your system and builds up and builds up. And that's why some people, when they start taking iodine, will have what's called a Herzheimer reaction or a detoxification reaction. But that's a good sign. That means you're detoxifying all that fluoride buildup, the mercury buildup in there, the bromine buildup in your system, and the chlorine buildup in your system. You don't want those things. All of those things have been proven as carcinogens. That's one of the reasons prostate cancer is on the rise, too, is because prostate takes up iodine. And the men that are lacking iodine causes the prostate to become cystic and causes the prostate to swell and eventually leads to prostate cancer. There's been an extreme rise in polycystic ovarian disease, PCOS, with women, fibrocystic breast disease, because iodine is stored in the breast tissue, the ovaries, the prostate glands in men. It's utilized by every single cell in the body.
Why does this almost taste good compared to other iodine that tastes horrible? That's because it's real iodine, atomic form.
We wanted something that's going to go straight into the bloodstream and straight into the thyroid gland. We wanted to put it in a vegetable glycerin base. That's a USP kosher certified vegetable glycerin base. And that product is not tested on animals, it's vegan friendly, it's gluten free, it's GMO free.
Of all the things I've done, nascent iodine was just absolutely amazing. So we developed with Dr. Group a double strength, low price. InfoWarsLife.com, Survival Shield, the atomic nascent iodine available right now.
We've talked many times about how the real purpose of Obamacare is a massive transfer of wealth to a few selected individuals. The same thing is true of carbon credits and carbon taxes. And we're going to talk to Mark Marino of Climate Depot about that and about climate change. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've got on your website the fact that although carbon dioxide has gone up 8%, in spite of their models, we've seen a plateau or actually a decrease in global temperatures for the past 17 years. So their models aren't working.
No, in fact, the theory at the moment isn't working. And in fact, if you go back geologically, the Earth has had many times higher CO2 with similar temperatures to today. We've had ice ages with lower CO2. I mean, it is a fascinating to look at. If you look at the recent years since 1997, 98, we've had no global warming. Put another way, every kid who graduated high school this year has not experienced global warming. Put even another way, kids in elementary school today have only experienced a slight global cooling since 2002. And this is what you call egg on your face scientifically. Well, maybe that's not a scientific term, but you get the idea.
Yeah, but they're all hearing all these kids in school. To them, the reality is that there's massive global warming because there's been this massive media campaign as well as campaign within the schools to convince them that that is the reality.
What they've done, because reality isn't working for them, and it's beyond global temperature. We're talking no acceleration in sea level rise, polar bear populations expanding. We're talking extreme weather at historic lows with no trends, by the way, actually declining trends in drought over 60 years globally and in the United States. Big downturn and big tornadoes, F3 or larger. Historic lows for hurricanes. No trend in floods. Heat waves actually this past year were near 100-year lows. I mean, on every measure, they are failing. Arctic ice, huge expansion this year. Antarctic ice in the South Pole, record expansion of all time since monitoring began. They can't get a break. But what they've done, the reason they can come out and say it's worse than we thought and scare kids and anyone else who's gullible is to say, well, it may not be that bad now, but our predictions now for 50 to 100 years are much worse. And so that's part of what they're doing is when reality fails, they make the predictions of the future that much scarier. And then they say it's worse than we thought. Why? Because our predictions are scarier. Forget about what's happening now.
But their models don't work. We had a scientist that was actually honest about this. It was on the IPCC. His name is Hans von Storch, and he told Der Spiegel about a month ago. He said it's not working. He said, according to their models, to have a 15-year period, and actually it's 17 years, where global warming didn't occur with these kind of CO2 escalations, he said there was only a 2% chance that that would happen. So basically, when you've got a real scientific community that's actually going out there and looking at the data, you know, that creates a real problem for them. But they always argue from the position of consensus. They say, well, 97% of the scientists, as they define scientists, believe in this, so therefore it must be true. We've always seen in scientific advances that it was the skeptics who looked at the real data and said, you know, this really doesn't fit the theory. That's where we get our advances, right?
Yes. In fact, it's actually not 95. They claim 97% consensus. Right. And a big part of that was based on 77 anonymous scientists that were whittled down from 10,000. This is how they come up with these numbers. So it's 77 activist global warming researchers who they claim is a 97% consensus. This is what they bandy about for years. And the media will, of course, repeat it over and over. But you made a very good point on climate models. When the UN is honest, when people like Kevin Trenbeth are asked, they will admit they're not even predictions. They're merely emission scenarios. When UN scientists like Jim Renwick of New Zealand comes out, he will say models don't even account for half the variability in nature. Thus, they don't expect them to do well. But they're a useful tool because they can pretty much tune a model to show whatever you want. And exactly. When you're a United Nations activist scientist that you were handpicked by a government to go to these UN conferences where your summary for policymakers, your report has to be signed off on line by line by UN bureaucrats, and of course, believe me, your climate models are going to show scary things, or you have no business being there. This is a self-serving organization. If the UN climate panel fails to show global warming as a problem, it fails to have a reason to exist.
And we saw the ClimateGate emails a couple of years ago. It's actually 2009, they released 1,000 of them. Then 2011, they released 5,000 of them. And we see them going back and forth. They knew at that time that the data didn't fit their models, didn't fit their theory. Yeah. And they were talking about, we got to hide the decline.
Yes, they talked openly about how they could essentially massage their narrative.
Yes.
And what the ClimateGate really showed us was it was the upper echelon of United Nations scientists, for lack of a better word, colluding with each other on how to craft a narrative. They openly talked about how to exclude studies that didn't support it, how they didn't like the solar scientists because they were trying to claim the sun had too big of an influence, how they would threaten journal editors from publishing a scientist's work. And right after ClimateGate broke, UN scientists came out and turned on fellow UN scientists saying that the head people should be forced to resign. And they said, by writing these words, we know we may never publish again. This became a good old boys network of scientists getting that $1 billion a day. I don't know if you saw that figure. $1 billion a day spent on global warming. These scientists don't want anything to get in the way of that, but they also are believers. I mean, this is the narrative of their day. This is their, this is the science of the day, and it's a politically crafted science. We have our National Academy of Science take money from Congress and then lobby for a climate bill. And then they issue a climate statement as though they're a neutral body. I mean, it's an amazing thing to see how science has been politicized, corrupted, and how a narrative has been crafted through the pressure of politics.
You're right. It's a lot of intimidation just based on, well, this person is an esteemed scientist. We saw this at the American Meteorological Society had their annual meeting here in Austin, and we went there and there was an amazing condescension towards meteorologists, people who have models that are short term. They're going out, they're measuring against their model and seeing if it actually works and then making adjustments in their model. And these people who weren't making any measurements or whose measurements were not fitting their model were just condescending towards meteorologists. There was an organization there that's funded by George Soros called Forecast the Facts. And
yeah, they
go just,
after each weatherman. If a weatherman makes a skeptical statement, they try to intimidate, harass him.
You mentioned
American Meteorological is a very good point. The survey at one point a few years ago showed up to 75% of the rank and file meteorologists of the American Meteorological Society were not only skeptical of global warming, but many believed it was an outright hoax. They actually used the word hoax, like the Weather Channel founder John Coleman has used.
Yes.
Because of that, the governing board, and this is how they come up with a consensus, but the American Meteorological Society issued a statement saying they agree with basically Al Gore and the UN. How is that possible? Well, a small group of two dozen or so governing board members, the American Meteorological Society and all these other science bodies, come up with a politically crafted statement with leaders that are tied to funding and Washington politics, and they exclude the members. There's no direct vote. There's no direct voice of the rank and file members. They come out with a statement, so you have a group like American Meteorological, 75% are skeptical, but yet the group is on record as being totally supportive of the UN climate view.
Absolutely.
That's how they craft a consensus. It's called total nonsense.
Mark, we're almost out of time. Real quickly, just touch on this idea of carbon credits. This is something that Al Gore has put together with a former partner of Goldman Sachs, the Blood and Gore carbon credits. Why should we have to pay that? We see that there's not any global warming, but they're still maintaining that that is happening. Why should we have to pay them a kind of religious indulgence? Why not pay you?
Well, what Al Gore did is he had a group called Kleiner Perkins, and they invested $1 billion in 40 different firms. This is back, I think, in 2008, 2009. Well, why did he do that? Well, he was counting on UN climate treaty. He was counting on cap and trade to pass Congress. Gore was a self-serving lobbyist when he testified before Congress. He had the most to gain. This was a man on a quest to be the world's first carbon billionaire. Of course, his divorce with Tipper made him half the man financially he used to be. Or if he hasn't officially got divorced, they're separated.
But I got to stop you there, Mark. We're out of time. I wish we had more time. We're going to have to come back and talk in detail about Al Gore's scheme, because this is something that's kind of like the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, except on a worldwide basis. It's an amazing scam they've got coming up. Thank you so much for joining us today. A great site for information. That's climatedepot.com. Mark Moreno.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, I wish we had more time to talk about Al Gore and his scheme to become the world's wealthiest man. Stay tuned to Prison Planet TV. We're going to come back to this subject. You can become a subscriber, and you can share that with up to 10 other people simultaneously. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Stay tuned after the news for more special reports.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at Infowars.com/show.
Now, C.J. Grisham is a prominent military blogger and founder of Soldier's Perspective, who after his illegal arrest in Temple, found himself at the tip of the spear in the gun debate. Naturally, open carry Texas was born. I want to welcome my friend and fellow patriot, C.J. Grisham. This is amazing. Hey, I want to thank everybody for coming out here. This is exactly what I had hoped for. I want to give a special shout out to Moms Demand Action for Sensible Gun Something or Other. Yeah! Yeah! Go
trees will protect your First Amendment. Before, obviously, what I want to do real quick before I get out, I just want to let everybody know how this event came about and give you a few updates that Murdoch alluded to. As you know, back in July, we had three of our Open Carry Texas members falsely charged with disorderly conduct for doing exactly what almost all of you are doing here today. When I spoke with the supervisor of those officers, the response that I got is, "And we'll do it again." So we told them, "Okay, then, you're going to have to arrest 1,000 of us."
Here's one incident that won't be in the FBI statistics. An armed pastor stopping what appeared to be an armed robbery. Now, the gun was fake, but the robber still used it to get control of the people in the store and had beaten the clerk.
I seen a young man bouncing up and down with a bandana on his face. I seen him pushing one of the employees.
Marshall turned what appeared to be a gun wrapped in plastic on him.
He was telling me to get on the ground. But that's when I pulled my weapon and said, "No, you get on the ground." And I just told him, "This is out of love."
Many are now calling Pastor Sanders a hero, but he says he was simply in the right place at the right time, doing what he had to do.
I laid my life down for some people.
When a good man with a gun stops a crime, it doesn't make the violent crime statistics. But Christians have both a right and a duty to protect the helpless, and that includes the helpless against violent crimes. Pastor Carl Sanders understands that. In stark contrast are those who, out of fear or ignorance or grief, lash out at innocent gun owners and even inanimate objects like guns.
Now that you've been so personally touched,
yeah,
and you're in such a position of authority,
yeah,
is it affecting what you're going to be saying about this going forward?
Well, yeah, but it's going to affect me in all three of those areas, not just in simply gun control.
Absolving himself, his wife, and his son from any responsibility for the son's suicide, Rick Warren put the full blame on the person who sold his son the gun.
One of the hard things was forgiving the person who sold him the gun.
Because they prayed.
Because I didn't want to forgive him.
Warren and his wife knew for a month that their son had illegally purchased a gun for the express purpose of suicide, but they did nothing. The couple we encountered in San Antonio advocating for gun control at the open rally carry at the Alamo had also lost a child, a daughter, at the Aurora, Colorado shooting. And I believe that they had also misdirected their anger and their grief towards infringing the rights of law-abiding citizens to protect themselves. Fortunately, the group they joined, 1 Million Moms for Gun Control, had so few members that they changed the name to Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense.
Well, I mean, that's the big issue, is there's probably 5 people here against the guns, and they're claiming it's probably true, there's a guy with a lot of sadness in his eyes, that it's his loved one that was lost at Aurora, and that's basically our fault. And the media is preying on these victims of gun control and gun-free zones like movie theaters, schools, and military bases, where the SWAT team was ordered to stand down at the Naval Yard. They are preying on us. And they're preying on people that have had loved ones that are lost in our pain to then blame others that have the right to self-defense. The offensive to get our guns is backfiring. The offensive to blame us for people on serotonin reuptake inhibitors who get guns illegally and go out and kill people, trying to blame that guilt on us. No, we blame the people that put their kids on all these drugs and hop them up in the psychiatric system. The insert says it can make you commit mass murder, make you commit suicide, mania. And in 90%+ of the cases, they're on these drugs.
No mention is ever made in the media of the real root of violence in America, drugs. Both prescription drugs and illegal drugs. The war on drugs accounts for over 80% of the shootings in Chicago, according to a former Chicago prosecutor with decades of experience. And as Alex Jones just pointed out, the common factor in suicidal mass shootings are prescription drugs, SSRIs. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.